Hello, Kim.
Okay, Elon Musk's management style, Kim, it's notorious. And while he may well be one of the world's greatest entrepreneurs, would you argue, in a work sense, he's borderline toxic? Is that harsh?
Oh, gosh, yes. Not even. No, I don't think it is harsh. Not even borderline. I think that he's full on toxic. And in fact, after the latest reports about his shenanigans at Twitter came out, I started looking at some interviews that he'd done, thinking, you know, why haven't we heard about this before? And I've got my theories about that. But he even says that he's not a micromanagement manager; he's a nano manager. So he fully embraces this. He doesn't think that there's anything wrong with this at all.
So how does he epitomize, as you say, a dying breed of manager?
Well, it is very much a dying breed of manager, because this is the old school, traditional, hierarchical, my way or the highway. You should be happy that you have a job. The beatings will continue until otherwise notified. It's just very, very old school. And these toxic types, and I'm not saying that every manager is or was like that by any stretch of the imagination. But what I'm saying is that we were, up until really the last 10 years, but then especially since COVID hit, we were almost conditioned to expect some level of that type of management. We were conditioned to expect our boss to be looking over our shoulder, to be micromanaged. And the reason for that goes back to how our people practices were set up way back in the Industrial Revolution, but they were set up for a very different workforce, a workforce that needed to be spoon-fed, that needed a little bit more hand-holding or a little bit more observation. And, you know, the workforce has changed. What we're asking them to do has changed. They're demanding different things. And we still see this old breed of manager, and Elon Musk typifies this, that just doesn't want to give up. And maybe not even doesn't want to give up, but doesn't know how to give up. They don't know that there's another way to manage staff.
Is that just arrogance?
Well, I don't think it's arrogance as much as it's fear, quite honestly. I think that these people are afraid. They don't know another way. This is how they've been taught, either overtly or conditioned covertly, to think that they have to manage. And they're afraid that if they try something different, that their people aren't going to perform. You know, we've lived under this paradigm that we have to treat people like children, again, for, you know, centuries. And we're just not used to treating people like adults in the workplace. And the only reason that this was masked for so long was because we had more people than jobs to fill. But that's, you know, been coming to, that trend has been reversing for a very long time. And once COVID hit and the Great Resignation hit and immigration rates came way down in Australia, that's exposed a lot of these flaws that were being masked by the fact that, you know, organizations held the power.
And as we've seen with at Twitter with staff walking out en masse, people just aren't prepared to take it.
Oh, not anymore. It used to be that they would take it, they would complain about it, they would slowly but surely look for another job, and they would end up leaving. But now you see the cycle happen within, you know, real time, as we're seeing it play out with Twitter. People are no longer willing to take it. And I've been hearing from a lot of senior leaders, well, when this recession comes or when the economic downturn comes, you know, that'll put people back in the box. That, you know, the pendulum will swing back again. But the research is actually showing that no, it won't, because people are less concerned. I wouldn't say they're less concerned with security. They certainly want security. They want to be able to put put dinner on the table for their family. But they're thinking about other things. That's not the only thing that they're thinking about. COVID has taught us that there are more important priorities in our life. And the research is showing that even in the face of strengthening economic headwinds, people are not willing to put up with toxic work cultures anymore.
Mm, so true. If you could meet Elon Musk, Kim, what would you ask him?
Oh, I have no desire to Elon Musk, actually. I guess my question is, how could somebody be so forward thinking with products and services and thinking about humanity and where we're going as a species, and so stuck in the past when it comes to actually executing on creating that vision that he has?
All right. Well, finally, what should people do if they recognize some of the traits that you've spoken about in their own boss?
Yeah, really, really good question. In their own boss, sit down and have a conversation with them. And I know that that's hard, and I know that that's confronting. But you know what people normally do is they vote with their feet. And so many times, and I, you know, I've been doing this for a very long time, and so many times I've just seen that what leaders really need is somebody to gently and respectfully hold up a mirror. That allows them to see themselves. That was done to me about 20 years ago. And I truly thanked the person who did that. And she became one of my best friends and was in my wedding a few years later.
Oh, so, nice.
Don't be afraid to sit down and have those honest conversations. As long as you do it with respect and with humanity, sometimes that's all they need, is just to realize how they're coming across.
Yeah, I think everyone should have a look in the mirror of truth every now and again.
Absolutely, Kim. I couldn't agree more.
Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.